Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Friday afternoon, TGIF, Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us, broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Bob Getty, Luke Johnson, we're glad you're with us. Opening segment of our show is sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to go this weekend for dinner. Also a great place to cater your next event, whether it be at your home, your church, your office, wherever. If you got something special coming up, be sure you give the guys at Dickey's a call, and we think you'll be happy with their catering results. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, you can hear it all the time. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Patrick McGee got some NFL news he's going to share with us here in just a few minutes. James Vernon, you may know who he is. He's a super fan who wrote the song Going to the Pete. We're going to have James on the show later. I'm happy to have him. And Justin Harris, one of our good friends and great sponsors of the Eagle Hour, on the show as well. Baseball, of course, coming up tonight with a really good Missouri State baseball team here. And before we get to basketball, Luke, Missouri State, no pushover. The Golden Eagles are going to have to be on their game tonight and all weekend.
They are. And we mentioned yesterday the fact of how high they are in RPI and Mazza tonight, Oldham tomorrow, and then Will Armistead on Sunday. So Oz already making a change. I will be interested to see tonight if Broadus continues with the lineup. Monastir slide, you know, if he's around the six hole, just to trying to get him going. It'll be interesting to see how Oz tinkers the offensive lineup, because he has changed up the rotation.
Yeah, heartbreaking loss last night, Luke, for the Lady Eagles, but a real courageous effort. They're playing without Dom Davis due to the suspension, ironically, that involved the scuffle with Arkansas State. Arkansas State is at full force last night. They have all their players on the floor. The Lady Eagles led the entire game, and sometimes 9-10 points, but went cold at the very end and lost in the last couple of minutes, 57-52, a little closer than that score indicates. Brekayla Gray and Malia Grayson, both with double-doubles, but tough to play a really good team without the best player in the league on the floor.
Yeah, they couldn't close it out. ULM outscored the Lady Eagles 22-10 in the fourth quarter. And Missy Bilderback's got the Lady Warhawks. I think I saw at the end last night they won more this year than they have in quite some time. Right. And you just feel like if Dom would have been there, she'd have been the difference towards the end. Just unfortunate, the entire situation altogether.
No question. And they've still got two more road games and, I believe, one home game. I think they'll be back to full force, but I'm not sure. That was so convoluted about how they were going to suspend certain players. But Dom Davis was out. She'll be back, and a shame to see her miss a game here toward the end of her senior year. Meanwhile, here at home, not a pretty night in a lot of ways, as USM goes down hard, 83-64 to South Alabama. Victor Hart's back, 13 points, 12 boards. Kobe Montgomery had a good night, 14 points. But the Eagles, just not terribly competitive. And then, of course, Luke, the talk of the town today is the blow-up late in the game when Andre Corbella gets two technical fouls, is an ejected from the game, and then kind of not sure why Crowley got a technical foul in the middle of all of that. That one seemed a little odd, but certainly two technicals and all the free throws that go with it, and then the possession that the South Alabama got. Well, free throws from three technical fouls. Too much to overcome. Ball game was over then, right?
Yeah, it was kind of that sequence. There had been it had been building some. Eagles were frustrated about several things. Curbelo specifically, there was a couple steals that he thought that he, and then Crowley stole one. And so then Curbelo gets teed up for chirping. While they're shooting the first technical free throws, I didn't see it, but Larry Boyd said it on the ESPN Plus broadcast. He said that the Anderson referee, Steven Anderson, called Crowley over. Crowley began to talk to him. This is as Larry and Lee were describing it. Crowley's talking to the referee, and the ref tees him up. Mm-hmm. And so during that, Curbelo mouthed, I think he said, like, the ball don't lie or something like that. And I think that was a reference to an earlier call where he felt that he was – I could be getting this wrong. It's just that's the chronology of what happened. I think he was chirping about an earlier call. He gets teed up. And then a little while later, to Crowley's benefit, Crowley got called for the three-point foul where they got three free throws, and Austin kept his mouth shut.
Yeah.
You just saw how exasperated, like, the entire bench was, Coach Cardona. What was to me, players talk, that's a completely different subject. What was bad was when, I don't know if it was one fan or how many, you can't throw things on the playing surface.
No.
Because that hurts our guys as well.
No.
And it hurts if there's a spot that they miss and there's liquid on there, it puts South Alabama guys at jeopardy. It puts our guys at jeopardy. And you just can't have that happen. Curbelo's got to learn to keep his mouth shut. It had been the buildup of a long time. And what I was more astonished at the fact that Crowley got teed up. I don't know what he said.
Yeah.
But if you're a referee, and if it is as Larry described, if you motion for a player to come talk to you, you can't then punish them for that conversation that you initiated.
I agree. And I don't think Crowley has done anything throughout the year that would have made us think that he would just be out of control. I agree. That was really questionable. But I'm going to say this about Andre Curbelo. You've got to shut your mouth, just like Luke said. And you get one technical foul, and then you still run your mouth, and you get another one. You have done nothing but all but end your team's chances of winning the game. This is supposed to be a team sport, Luke. This isn't supposed to be about yourself.
I think
Andre Curbelo needs to behave, in my
opinion. The first technical was exasperation. I think the second technical – so he was the third technical that was given. His second technical was number three of three. And yeah. So you've been teed up. Then they tee your teammate up by initiating a conversation with him. And, I think at that point it's over. We learned after the game, too. And I'm not excusing behavior, but just this is how all these things that factor. He was sick and throwing up before the game, too. Cardona said that in the press conference.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there. I did appreciate, and for our listeners that haven't seen it, you can go back. I think Andrew Abadie on Twitter or Dima Mixon has it on Twitter from the press conference. I think it was Andrew's has a video of Cardona talking about, you'll appreciate this, Bob. It's what we've been saying all season. He told those guys, listen, we got to grind, we got to grind, we got to grind. This game matters, but what really matters is being good over one weekend in a few weeks.
Right.
No, and
that's right. That's right.
That's really good perspective from Coach Cardona. He did also mention what you had just said about Victor Hart. Hadn't been there in a while. You want his talent back, but when a guy hasn't been in the lineup, there's some chemistry issues, yep. And Coach Cardona admitted that.
Two quick points. I'll let it go. My message to the local media, I watched the reports last night. Not a mention of what turned the game at the end about the technical. Have the courage to report what happened if you're going to cover a sporting event. And number two, I tell you who I felt bad for last night, Luke. I felt bad for Jay Ladner, because here he is at home recovering and from a serious medical incident, and that's not, I think you know him as well as me, that's not what Jay Ladner wants to see on the floor. He don't want to see fans throwing stuff on the floor. He don't want to see players mouthing off to officials. And we've had quite a couple of weeks. We've had parents come out of the stands involving
women's game. Wasn't a men's game.
Correct. And now last night, I say enough of all the shenanigans. Let's just play basketball the rest of the
game. There is. I will say this. Unless you're the 2018 New Orleans Saints in the NFC Championship game, referees most of the time do not win or lose games. And I don't think the referees win or lost the game that night. But here's the thing. If you're going to be bad sometimes, you have to in some ways, whether it's the crowd or, listen, I'm going to limit it here, not players, but coaches. You got to have a, if you're going to dish it out as a referee and possibly give bad calls, you've got to be able to take it. And going back to the Crowley technical, if a referee is going to initiate a conversation with a player, he can't then slap that player down with 3 points to the other team. And so I don't know if the refs got mad that what the crowd was chanting last night or somebody's lighting into them. It's fair game for coaches, and it's fair game for the crowd to get after, especially on a home court when several calls don't go their team's way. That's just part of the game.
I agree. Let's play basketball the rest of the year. Let's not fight with officials. Let's not get teased. Let's just play basketball. Hey, when we come back, there's some news that may affect your New Orleans Saints, and who better to talk about that than Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment, campusbookmart.net. It'll be rocking all weekend with the Golden Eagles in town playing Missouri State. Good baseball series. I hope everybody makes it out to the Peak. It's going to be perfect, perfect weather. All right, also want to thank Mobay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street. What a great weekend to go get yourself some beignets and some good coffees and drinks. They're right across the street from the campus, so that'll be easy and convenient for you, too. Campus Bookmart and then Mobay Beignet, two great stops to make this weekend if you're in town for baseball. Patrick McGee is, of course, with NOLA.com and a good buddy of ours and joins us each and every week. And, Patrick, all right, now, you kind of explained this to me during the break because you're much smarter than I am about the NFL salary cap that has now been increased from $224 million to $255 million. And you say that is good news for the Saints.
Yeah, it's if there's any team that's thrilled right now in the NFL, it's the Saints because they're a team that really each year really has to – they kind of go through dips. Certain measures just get under the salary cap, and they had a lot of work to do this offseason, including Derek Carr's deal, who they restructured. I think it was just revealed this morning. I mean, they basically converted most of his salary for this year into a bonus, which allowed them to cut a lot away and to get them under that salary cap. It's a big deal. And if a team, say, goes over the salary cap, just looking here, thank God for Google, if a team goes over the salary cap, they're fined upwards of $5 million for each violation. And in certain scenarios, draft picks could be confiscated from teams and stuff. So the NFL is pretty harsh when it wants teams to meet that salary cap. So it just gives the Saints that much more wiggle room, and it will allow them to kind of do a better job of upgrading the roster in the offseason.
This is a question kind of intelligent as the one Kelly Sander asked last year when he asked Hill Denson, does winning two straight regionals help with recruiting? And Hill laughed and said, no, Kelly, that shouldn't help at all. So my question is this. The salary cap is in place to prevent the New York Giants of the world from just outspending the Green Bay Packers of the world. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, obviously the Dallas Cowboys, if they could, they would just throw around whatever money they wanted to. It creates parity within the league. I mean, that's really what kind of makes the league interesting from year to year. Is you just don't quite know who's going to maybe, you know, climb, make a significant climb, or just get into the playoff picture that wasn't there a year ago. So, I think it's the NFL is smart to handle it this way.
All right, Luke, who do you want the Saints to go get with this new expanded salary cap?
Let me just say the reason the salary cap's good because it doesn't allow teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates to find ways to be perennial bottom dwellers and still make money. Okay, so the salary cap, you know, it makes teams eventually have to try to at least compete. Anyway, Patrick, you know, I'd like to ask you that question because that's just a blank for me as far as – but the news was they did restructure who Carr and McCoy's contract in order to – I mean, they freed up a lot of money kind of converting Carr's from salary to signing bonus. And but that's basically those two guys working with the front office in order to help the team.
Right. I think with Carsdale, I think if I read right, they freed up $23 million just by converting most of his salary to signing bonus. He's basically – his salary is the equivalent of the league minimum, I think, for a veteran at his stage in his career. So, I mean, this is what the Saints do every year. And it seems like they're probably a lot farther down the road right now than a lot of people expect them to be, especially with the news that the NFL is increasing that cap. So it's a big deal. There's still work to be done, and there's a lot of teams in better shape in the Saints in terms of having more flexibility. But this does kind of allow them to kind of realize eventually we can get to the end of this task pretty quickly and then go about the business of possibly looking at free agency.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the bill has come due for the Saints because all this stuff they did with Breeze, they've been kicking the can down the street for quite some time, and it finally came due. And fortunately for the Saints, when the bill came due, the cap was actually raised, Patrick. So, I mean, you know, that it kind of worked out for them like that.
Yeah, in a way it almost feels like it gives the Saints – I mean, everybody just felt like this was the year where the Saints are just going to get crushed by this. And it's pretty apparent. I guess they could just keep kicking that can down the road, you know, infinitum or whatever. I don't know.
Is this the NFL repaying the Saints for all of the times where they robbed them of so many calls and games and stuff?
God, you know?
I wouldn't say that much because the whole league kind of benefits.
I'm kidding.
All right. They're owed something though.
I haven't talked to you since the hiring of Clint Kubiak. More and more I read about him. I like it. This is going all the way back. This is the Shanahan tree, the Shanahan Denver Bronco Kubiak tree. He's been under Kyle Shanahan. I like the hire. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really pleasantly surprised. You know, I mean, of the guys that were out there, just you look at his resume, he already has experience as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. He worked with the 49ers last year as passing game coordinator, and the 49ers have far and away, I think, the best passing attack in the NFL. Or at least in the NFC. This just makes a lot of sense. The Saints feel like of all the teams that really hired assistants and coordinators, I think the Saints in rebuilding that offensive staff at least got the guy in charge that they needed to be there.
How will he change the offensive attack, you think, Patrick?
Well, I mean, the hope is that, you know, like he says, that Shanahan system that, you know, he is Gary Kubiak's son. Who is one of the, along with, you know, Mike Shanahan, really kind of developed this system.
Yeah.
So all those teams were able to run the ball really well and, you know, and kind of run first and then pass second and just kind of build something that really worked throughout the season, consistently produced. Mm-hmm. And the Kyle Shanahan system in San Francisco is rocking and rolling. Not saying year one he's going to be able to do that in New Orleans, but you would think the Saints at least are going to be able to run the ball a lot better.
Patrick, but that system – I think it fits Carr better because it allows him to be a game manager rather than putting the whole world on his shoulders, even though he has put up some seasons where he was prolific, but, you know, where the yards went up, the interceptions went as well. I think this offense kind of allows him in some ways to be more of a manager than the fact that to put the whole game on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these offenses that we're talking about that have operated in the system, they haven't had the most talented guy at quarterback. You know, Brock Purdy doesn't have the biggest arm in the NFL, or, you know, I like him a lot as a passer. He's really efficient, really accurate. But, you know, going back to whether it's Matt Schaub or a lot of these other guys, they played in the system and they've produced. So Carr is going to be put in a position to succeed. He wasn't always put in that position this year just because the offensive line stunk and the running game was super inconsistent, didn't produce near to the level that it needs to be for the Saints to really kind of contend. So if they can really build this thing around Kamara and get that offensive line in place, I thought, you know, I think this offense has a chance to be improved. I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be significantly improved, but I think we'll see a more balanced attack.
Well, I hope so, because as a guy that was accepted into the Saints bandwagon last year after my team was banished, I'm tired of losing, guys. I was a Redskin fan for a long time. I'm tired of losing. I'm ready for the Saints to get back in the Super Bowl, Patrick.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, the Super Bowl's in New Orleans in February 2025. I am not going to even remotely, you know, say the Saints are going to be in that game, but I think the chances of being in the playoffs are pretty have improved over the last three or 4 weeks.
And Luke, I'm assuming Patrick likes me and you. He's got the connects. Me and you'll probably have 240-yard line Super Bowl seats next year.
Because of his connections, he already told me that he has 3 suites available for the entire playoff.
There we go. We're in, Patrick. You ain't got to tell us we're in.
Yeah, I hate to disappoint y'all, but you know.
Well. You let Blue show up. Anything's possible. All right, way too early. Never it's too early to talk about the draft, but about a minute left. Thoughts on first couple picks? What are they going eye position-wise?
Well, I think offensive tackle is probably the one that I would think. The Trevor Penning thing is, you know, I think they're going to have to convert him to guard, and he may eventually be a pretty good guard. But, you know, Andrews P played really well, I thought, left tackle late last season. But you have Ramchek, who's a little older, dealing with injuries. I think you really have to get somebody in there that can step in as a starter, or at least, you know, be a really, really good third tackle. So with that first pick, I fully expect the Saints would probably take an offensive tackle unless some skill guy really drops to him that they weren't expecting.
Got to keep Derek Carr on his feet. That's for sure.
Hey. Yeah, it's got to happen. That's got to be one of the main efforts this year, is to really just upgrade depth quality and insert somebody at left tackle or right tackle that can be a difference maker.
Real quick, Patrick, about 15 seconds. You covered, of course, Southern Miss for a long time. Reassure our baseball fans that there's no reason to panic if they lose one, maybe even 2 games in the month of February.
No, I mean, I was a little surprised how things played out in that Game 3 against Marist. But, I mean, it just happened. It's early in the season, and I like how Ostrander's handling things. He's making guys get out there and earn at-bats and earn time out there. So there's no reason to panic.
Good stuff, Patrick. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Patrick McGee, NOLA.com, our go-to guy when it comes to the Saints. I like that. I like that news about New Orleans, Luke. That sounds good.
The NFL is not repaying us because all 32 teams were helped out during the salary cap raise.
No question. All right, when we come back, James Vernon is going to join us. If you don't know who he is, you're going to know soon. We're looking forward to this. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, 4th Street Bar Grill sponsors this segment of our program. Great place to be this weekend. Grab yourself a lunch and enjoy some baseball. If you can't get into Pete, I guarantee it'll be on the TV there. Food is always good. Of course, Friday, Catfish Friday. Too late this week, but don't let another one get by you. Also want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the best on the road today. Coming soon, the beautiful all-new Genesis Showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. All right, thanks to Patrick McGee for joining us, our buddy in New Orleans. Always enjoy our conversations. Been looking forward to this conversation all week. James Vernon is what I like to call a super fan. He's a guy that carries his love for Southern Miss on his sleeve like I do and many other people. James is a very talented musician as well and is the composer of the famous, now famous song, Going Down at the Pete, and we're happy to have James Vernon on the show. James, welcome.
Thanks, Miss Bob. I appreciate that. happy to be here.
All right, hang on, James. I think my operations manager's here with me. We're gonna play a little bit of your song, and then we're gonna get you to comment on it. Okay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Myself too. I'm headed on down the street. Watched them golden eagles play a little baseball down at the beach. And as I buy myself a hot dog and take my place up in the stand, well, the golden eagles, they take the field and everybody claps their hands. As the batter steps up to the plate, hey, everybody boo. Hey, it's nice of you to show up just to get tattooed. Talk about, hey, y'all, it's time for baseball. There's a throw down to first and safe at the goal. One run, two run, three run, four. He's coming around third, got room for plenty more. The black and gold, yeah, we're trying to get loose. Got the Guatemala flag down at the roof. And the fans in the stand be stomping their feet. We're getting deep, deep. Hey, he's going down at the feet. Oh, oh, oh.
All right, that's James Vernon going down at the peak. That's awesome, James. I like that a lot, my man.
Well, I sure appreciate the kindness. Thank you so much.
Luke, I think you like that too, don't you?
Yeah, it just has particularly that first verse in the chorus. You kind of nailed it all. You talked about the roost and stomping and clapping, and I like that line.
Yes, sir.
I heard the tattooed part. Correct me on the lyrics, but these teams show up, and it's just a shame they have to get tattooed like that.
Right. I was wondering how many people would get that play on words.
That's good. I noticed Guatemala in there, too. That could not be a reference to our 24-year player from Guatemala, could it?
You know, I believe it is.
Yeah.
But
I don't mean he's 24, James. I mean he played here for 24 years. I mean, not that he's only 24.
What is it, James, what is it to you – because the point of the song, the feature of the song, is not just Southern Miss Baseball, but it's the Pete. It's Pete Taylor Park. What is it about the Pete? And it could be several things. Just tell us that makes it such a special place to watch baseball.
You know, I love it, and I love the publicity that Pete Taylor Park has gotten, you know, especially recently, you know, after the last 10 years or so. And these commentators that emphasize on how the atmosphere is so uplifting and it's just so you want to be there. I couldn't agree more. And once it started getting that national publicity, I would find myself in the stands. I say, you know what? They're absolutely right. This is great. You know, I've been to several venues and Pete Taylor Park, there's nothing that compares to it. I know I'm a little biased because it's my university, but it's fact. You know, it's just people that haven't visited Pete Taylor Park and witnessed a ball game, they don't know what they're missing.
James, I don't know if you know this story. I'll just share it real quick. I tell it once or twice a year, but when Pete Taylor was still alive, we were told that he came in the park, and this is before they added the second level, and so you could walk in the gate and you could see the center field wall. And one of the Diamond Darlings was taking tickets, and he walked up and she said, "Sir, you need a ticket to come in the park." And he said, hey, sweetie, my name's on that wall." She looked out. She said, "Come on in, Mr. Park. Come on in." So,
that's great.
It is though. We talked to Hill Denson, of course, to talk to Oz. One of the things down the years that's made this baseball program so good is we've only had five coaches, you know. And what's your thoughts now? And you kind of told us off air a little bit, but I want our listeners to hear it as well. What's your thoughts about Oz taking over now?
I personally was excited when I kind of seen it coming. I mean, why not? I mean, Oz has been great. And when he was named head coach, man, I was ecstatic along with, a few hundred thousand Golden Eagle fans. We were all excited, I believe. But, you know, we get a little criticism, it seems, every year on our hitting and pitching. But, man, if everybody look back, you know, in retrospect, we come along. And he does a great job. And I think Travis Creel don't get enough credit. He has to take these players and help develop them into hitters. I mean, when they leave this university – they're like 10 times the hitter they were when they got here.
Yeah. And Bob was asking you off air a little bit, like how the song came about and how it developed.
Yes, sir.
So tell us about that.
Tell us, sir.
Yeah, we were, it was last year, I want to say it was James Madison, I'm not 100%, but the basketball game, probably January, I can't quite remember, but somebody just said, hey, it was after a big win, somebody just said, hey, it's time for baseball, y'all, you know, hey, y'all, it's time for baseball, and I just kind of, my head, you know, being a musician, it just kind of started working its way in my head there, and I said, hey, y'all, it's time for baseball, and I actually just started putting the lyrics together, and they came just so naturally because there's so much to talk about with Pete Taylor Park. And I'd like to give a lot of credit to Miss Laura Berry. She actually loved the song, turned it over to marketing at USM, and they called me and said, hey, can we play this at the state? I said, look, anything I write that has the name Southern Miss in it, it's Southern Misses. I said, I don't want no, you know, royalties or whatever. But y'all do what you want to with it. I'm just proud to be a part of it. And so she did that. Next thing I know, WDM's calling me for an interview and all that. So I was just really blessed. You know, Miss Laura, she loved the song. So
well,
that's how it all.
If she's happy with you, you're in good shape. You just, you know,
yeah,
you got Miss Laura
happy. It.
Now, I want to, got about 3 minutes left. James is a very talented musician, as you could just tell from there. But I've seen something that you do, and I just want to, I want to thank you for that. I've seen on social media where from time to time I see that you go to some of these facilities around our area where our elderly residents are living and you entertain them with music. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. My late mother lived out at the Claiborne, and I'm not sure that you were there specifically, but I do know that when people would come out there and show their, you know, love for these folks by taking time to play music for them and visit with them, it just meant so much to her. She looked so forward to that. And so, you know, man, thanks to you for doing that to our senior citizens around the area, James. That's awfully kind of you.
Well, I sure appreciate it. It's just as much a blessing to me. I can guarantee that.
Now, people may not know this as well, and I've never met the lady, but while James is a really good musician, he's the real talent in the family is your wife. Am I not right about that? She is quite an accomplished artist.
Yes, she is. She does very, very well. And she only picked it up. She's been painting, dabbling here and there, but recently it just seems like she's on her game. It's like she's putting out these paintings that are just immaculate. And people are just going nuts over them. They're saying, hey, how much you want for this one or how much you want for that? And she never thought that she was that great, but I look and I'm just in awe. So, yes, we give credit to the wise. She is she is super talented.
Yeah, but let's not give proper due to you and your love and support for Southern Miss. And we love bringing fans on that love the Golden Eagles the way we do, James. And I believe you're one of those guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am very much.
Well, look, we appreciate you being on our show. We appreciate you writing that great song. As I told you off air, we'd love to have you and your wife be our guest one weekend. You just let me know, and we'd love to treat you to our seats at the Pete, because you've made it famous with your song, my man.
I sure appreciate that. And Mr. Bob, can I give a quick shout out? It's not a business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'd like to shout out to the Sippy Squad. They've been real supportive of me, and they're holding it down in Louisiana. Sippy Shells does a sports show over there in Ponchatoula. Yeah. And I got a lot of love for Marchant, too, and his show he does. That is a great show.
But that crew finds a way to get a Southern Miss flag on any sports event in the state of Louisiana.
That is no kidding.
Yes, sir, and that's the thing. They're so passionate. They're so passionate, and they spread that Southern Miss love everywhere.
No question. Just like you do. Just like you do, my man. Thank you, James Vernon, for taking the time to talk to us.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right, James Vernon, one of our super fans, ladies and gentlemen. There's another one coming up, Justin Harris. He's going to talk about good food as well. We like that. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment of the week. Here you are in the Southern Bancor studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Michael Mergen's doing all kinds of stuff. That's why we pay him the big bucks. Appreciate
That's right.
all he does for our show. News and notes to cap off the week. Basketball, men and women's falling last night. Men fall to South Alabama, 83-64. Women fall 57-52 to Louisiana Monroe. Women on the road tomorrow at noon against Arkansas State. Men tomorrow inside Reed Green Coliseum at 6 p.m. Over the weekend as well, beach volleyball has several matches as they begin their season. Softball takes on Southern Indiana. Actually, they're underway right now, start at 12:30, and men and women's tennis on the road at Jackson State.
There we go. Justin Harris is with us from Fuzzy's Tacos and Dickie's Barbecue Pit, and you hear us talk about Dickie's each and every day. That's because everything we say is true. It's the best place to cater all your Southern Miss athletic events anywhere. There's no question about that. And then I got to tell you, Justin, on March 15th, we're going to be at Fuzzy's to kick off Sunbelt Baseball. And I bet my partner Luke will say, Luke, there is really nowhere we enjoy doing remotes more than Fuzzy's Tacos.
If we can keep Santa in line, yeah. But as far as me, I will go in there. And Justin, I've already determined it. I'm probably going to get tacos this next time. But whenever we're at your place, there's just famous people and great people just show up. And it's because of the great location, the great food, and your great team at Fuzzy's.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. We're looking forward to having you. I think that's the I think Marshall is the opening series
Correct.
That we're going to have at March 15th. And
right.
Happy to have y'all out for that for sure.
You know, we wanted to ask you because your RPI expertise.
Yeah.
Missouri State's fourth, ULM's 19th right now. The Golden Eagles are 133rd. Yeah. Explain it to us.
Now, answer this without laughing, Justin, if you can.
3 + 4 = 5. That's not, when y'all figure it out, you let me know. I've been scratching my head trying to figure it out as well. It makes zero rhyme or reason, nothing against ULM. But it's hard to fathom Missouri State being number four when they just played three games in Monroe.
Loyola Marymount is 7, if it makes you feel better. Yeah. Sacramento State is 12. This is just part of the year, you know, as it all starts to shake out. Justin, we talked real quick baseball question. We'll talk to more about the 15th. But, man, I know you're excited about this baseball season and particularly this team.
Absolutely. We're very excited. I believe, as you guys know, I mean, there's a lot of new faces, but with Coach Oz and the staff they've got there, I mean, I think they've done a really good job of bringing in some quality guys and a lot of depth to fill in with the guys that we lost from last year's team. So I really think, as we were discussing, there's a good bit more depth, and it's, you know, there's going to be quite a few guys, I feel, that will be plug and play. You know, it'll make a tough decision on who's going to play in some spots, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, you know, Justin, I think probably the greatest remote we ever did was at Fuzzy's the weekend of the Ole Miss Super Regional. We had the owner of the company, Steve Davenport, come do the show with us. We had Hill Denson, Scott Berry, Jeremy McLean, and if you may remember, we had like this terrible storm come through. And I thought for a minute it might be blowing us down at Fuzzy's, but we survived it all and had a great time that day, man.
Yes, I remember that. We enjoyed the regional and super regional weekend here in Hattiesburg, along with our, you know, other businesses around. That's those are really good times for us.
You wouldn't mind another one, huh?
I'd be very happy with another one.
The other one was when we showed up at Fuzzy's, and Will Hall's like, "Hey, I'm coming over there." Then he just like co-hosted the entire yeah. show with us.
And
at the end,
every player, where they're from, everything.
Yeah,
the Louisiana was the pitching coach for Louisiana for the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah.
He was there,
Steph
and so he and Will Hall talking
friend.
Baseball Steph at Fuzzy's.
Yeah, it was great.
That's right.
It was great.
That's right. That was a good one.
All right, Justin. So big weekend now. It's a great weekend to come to Fuzzy's. Tell us what's happening down there.
Yeah, man, this is the time of year we like. The weather, we call it a Chamber of Commerce day. Bluebird sky, sunshine, not humid, not hot. Perfect to come by and see us for a little while before you head to the game. We're really we got a new sort of a new revised taco menu with going back to our roots with the Baja Fresh Baja Tacos. So it's really a good time, and we have a promotion right now. We're doing a thing where if you order a Baja taco, you get any of our OG, which is our original tacos, we call them OG Fuzzy's OG tacos, for $1. So this weekend through the next few weeks, that's going to be one of the promotions. It's a national promotion, but obviously we're doing it here in our store. So I'd really like everybody to come out and try that and get them a cold beverage while they're at it.
Okay. You're speaking my love language with those tacos, just letting you know.
You like those brisket tacos, don't you, Luke?
And I did get, the last time I was in there, I got the Baja, and it was fine. But, yeah, brisket's a winner for sure.
All right, as we go out, I do want to remind everybody, too, that if you want to cater an event, whether it be for your business, your church, ball games over the weekend, there's just no better place than Dickey's. And you guys love catering special events, do you not, Justin?
Yes, sir. We do about 3 or 4 of them a day. So we're always happy to fulfill those and take care of our guests.
Justin, we appreciate all you do with our program, and we're really looking forward to coming down there and kicking off conference baseball with you, my man.
Looking forward to it as well, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Justin Harris, everybody, from Fuzzy's Tacos and Dickie's.
Give me a prediction. We're back in baseball season. Give me a prediction.
Right,
what you got?
We're going to win 2 out of 3, Luke, and I'm not going to say what day. I think if we lose, it'll be close, but I like the Eagles 2 out of 3.
Who's going to beat Mazza, Oldham, and Armistead? Ain't nobody. Bring me a broom, Getty.
All right, sounds good to me. Until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.